Amen. Why don't you, those in the front are making your way back to your seats, just everybody, if you would, just those right around you, shake their hand, greet them. You don't have to get out in the aisles. Just shake hands with a couple of people. Let them know God's going to do some great stuff in the house today. A little quiet. Lift your hands. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Could we do that? Could somebody shout unto God with the voice of triumph? Somebody shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Oh, I've come to lift him up. I've come to magnify him. I love you, Jesus. Go ahead, keep going a little bit longer. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. I love you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him this. Say, we need to help Pastor preach today. And if you're going to do that, you may be seated. All right. The last few weeks, we have felt led, last couple of Sundays specifically, led of the Lord to focus our spiritual attention, our collective faith upon the receiving of the miraculous in our services. And I'm so thankful for every miracle that has taken place these last couple of weeks. How many know some great things have happened? Some great things have happened. And how many know that we should see miracles every single time we gather together to meet? Oh, hallelujah. And the reason is because this thing called apostolic Pentecostalism, of which we are a part of, has its inception and its foundation in the miraculous. For in order for there to be a belief called Christianity, there first had to be a Christ. And the birth of Christ, whose name is Jesus, was wrapped in the miraculous. You don't get much more of a miracle than a virgin giving birth. What a miracle. As a child, Herod tried to kill the Lord. But God spoke miraculously to Joseph in a dream. And a way of escape was made so that Christ would live. What a miracle. The ministry of our Lord began with the turning of water into wine. What a miracle. He went on to perform so many miracles that the world could not contain them if they were written down in book at his crucifixion. Miracle. He was then crucified, and at his crucifixion, dead people literally came back to life again, walked out of the tombs. That had to be quite something. I've often thought of that. Knocking at the door and there's Uncle Herschel. He's been dead a couple years. That had to be quite a miraculous spectacle, to be sure. What a miracle. And on the third day after Christ was crucified, the Lord himself would rise from the dead with all power in his hands. What a miracle. Everything that we are is based on the miraculous. Everything we believe is based on the miraculous. Everything we are hoping for is based upon the miraculous. Therefore, we should see the miraculous every single time we gather together as a people of faith. Come on, how many believe that? How many believe miracles can happen today and will happen today? We are a people of the name. We are people that should experience the miraculous because we were born in the miraculous. We are to live in the miraculous. We are to operate in the miraculous. Every time we come together, miraculous things should transpire. And yet, what we need to continually keep in mind and what the Lord has been impressing upon my heart the last several days is the fact that of the 35 to 40 recorded miracles that Jesus performed in Scripture, only three of them took place in a church service. The majority of the miracles that Jesus performed took place outside of what would have been a church service. Not only that, but when you get to the book of Acts, you find the very same thing happened. For the majority of the miracles that are recorded in the book of Acts happened outside of a church building. And if we are book of Acts people, we need to be book of Acts people. Come on now, you're getting a little quiet on me. We can't pick and choose what part of the book of Acts we're going to model the church after. We're either going to model it after the entirety of it. We're going to model it after the doctrine for sure. But we also need to model it after the Acts of the Apostles. It's not enough that we just believe what they believed. We got to do what they did. And what was modeled to us is that more miracles happened outside of the church building than what happened inside of the church building. So if we're going to proclaim to be a book of Acts church, then we need to also be able to say the same thing about this church. Hallelujah. But how many know and understand for whatever reason, and I'm one of us, whatever reason, we got a bunch of faith in here. But maybe not so much out there. How many know it's a whole lot easier to step out in faith when you got 47 other brothers and sisters stepping out in faith with you. But it's another thing to step out in faith when it's just you. Oh, hallelujah. When you're in the majority, it's easy, but when you're in the minority, as far as those who would believe like you, I mean, I know it gets a little tougher, but we need to understand that we are a people that have the miraculous power of God coursing through our veins just as much outside of this building as it courses through our veins inside of this building. Somebody said amen. Oh, hallelujah. In fact, I've come to declare the fact that we as a church are unstoppable. We are a people who walk in the dimension of the supernatural everywhere we go, not just in this room, but more so outside of this room. We are to be an unstoppable force for the cause of Jesus Christ. We are those who have been divinely appointed by God to take the kingdom of God by force. We are an army of warriors that heaven knows and that hell fears. Come on, turn to two or three people and tell them we're unstoppable. We're unstoppable. Wherever we go, the spirit realm takes notice. Wherever we are, the enemy has to flee. There is life in our words. There is power in our prayer. There is healing in our touch. There is deliverance in our hands. The light of Jesus shines through us, and it pierces even the darkest of nights. We are unstoppable. Come on, we got to know who we are, not just in this room, but outside of this room. We've got to know that God's word is our authority. God's name is our battle cry. And God's will is our greatest of delights. We are a force that cannot be stopped. We are a movement that cannot be swayed. We are a fire that cannot be quenched. We are unstoppable. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Because we are His hands, and we are His feet. And we are His mouthpiece. And if you can't stop Him, then you can't stop us. We are the body of Christ. And if you couldn't stop the body of Christ in a literal form, you can't stop it in a spiritual form. Somebody shout amen. The book would say it like this, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, more monitor, please. That's not what 4:17 says. But 4:17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the church building. So are we in the confines of these four walls. So are we in the world. As He is, so are we to be outside. Come on, somebody. Because when we're filled with the Spirit, we took upon ourselves the characteristics of an almighty God. And we took upon ourselves His power. And we took upon ourselves His authority. We are partakers of His divine nature. We are not just flesh, but within flesh is divinity. We are walking, powerful, powerful, powerful men and women and children and teenagers and hyphen. We are unstoppable. As Christ walked in this earth, so also should you and I walk in this earth. What Christ demonstrated, we are to demonstrate also. What Christ carried out, we are to carry out also. What Christ accomplished, we are to accomplish. And even greater things than these shall ye do. In this world, in the context of our world, our faith needs to grow, where we truly begin to believe that we are to see the miraculous greater in our worlds than we do in the church building. We need a culture shift. Because we've grown to begin to think that all of the miraculous has to happen in the church building. And if we're going to see a miracle, we got to get people to the church building. And we're going to have services like that to be sure. But the majority of miracles are to happen outside of the church building. Because it's not about the building. It's about the power of God that is at work within you. And hear me. You spend a whole lot more time out there than you spend in here. And if the power of God is at work through you, doesn't it only make sense? We should be seeing a whole lot more out there. Woo. So it is. may be seated. I felt so strongly impressed of the Lord at our camp meeting this week that he spoke to me that it is his will to demonstrate his miraculous power through those who would put themselves in a position by their faith and their boldness outside of these four walls. In fact, what I felt the Spirit say, Sister Vera, was that our stories can no longer be about what happened for other people. But God would desire for you to have your own miraculous story. You've told other people's stories long enough. It's time for you to have a story of your own. Now, we're bumping up against a little something in the house right now, but it's not spiritual. It's fleshly. It's fleshly. Because we're really good about shouting about all this stuff in here. But we know when we get out there, it's a whole different story. And that's where our flesh. Woo. I might have told you this, but Brother T.L. Smith, who ministered here, I don't know, a year or so ago, whatever it was, you know, he operates in the gifts, and I mean, he has seen just, and he was telling me all these stories. I mean, just miraculous story after miraculous story after miraculous story. I mean, things that would just blow your mind. And I asked him, I said, Brother Smith, I said, show me, teach me, how do you do that? And he said, Brother Cox, he said, it is as easy as falling off a log. How many has ever heard that expression? It's as easy. How hard is it to fall off a log, right? And he said, it's as easy as falling off a log. And Brother Rima, obviously I didn't contradict the man of God outwardly. But inwardly I was like, no, it's not. No, it's not. It cannot be as easy as falling off a log. And then he clarified. He said, but think about it. He said, if you're on a log and you go to fall off, every bit of your flesh tries to keep you upright. Every bit of your flesh tries to balance you. If you just let flesh not have any its way, it's easy to fall off a log. But your flesh, I'm not falling. Come on. See, what happens is that we shout about the stuff in here, and I'm one of us. We shout about it in here when we're surrounded by a bunch of other people that believe like us. But when we get out there, our flesh, and this is kind of what we're bumping up against right now, is because we know I'm shouting about it. But tomorrow at the restaurant, when I see the guy that's got the thing on, the breathing thing because of the lung problem, and the Lord speaks to me and says, go over to his table and pray for him, I know right there my flesh is going to be like, oh. Right? But it's the will of God, and I believe so strong that the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you will position yourself through faith and boldness and having a willingness to do what I tell you to do, and I believe, I truly believe, he gave me specifics. He said in the next 2 weeks that we are going to see the miraculous outside of these walls like we have never seen before. I felt, Brother Josiah, I felt it so strong that God spoke to me and said in 2 weeks, there's going to be multiple people in this church. They're going to have a miraculous story for themselves. They're not going to have to tell about somebody else's story, but they're going to be able to tell their own story of how they felt impressed of the Holy Ghost outside of these four walls to pray for the coworker, pray for the neighbor, pray for the person at the restaurant. And God performed the miracle right there. Come on, if you believe that, put your hands together and give God praise. Come on, how many believe that right now? More than just clapping your hands, because that's what we're supposed to do. How many absolutely believe that in the night, I talked about a shift and I feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. How many absolutely believe that in 2 weeks we could see the greatest amount of miracles outside of this church building than what we've ever seen before? But you got to be willing to position yourself. And you got to be willing to say yes when the Holy Ghost tells you to say yes. And you got to put your flesh aside and follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Don't be confused by those that are giving today. The miraculous and sacrifice always goes hand in hand. Our faith has to grow. Our faith has to grow to believe what God has told us we are going to see. It is time to move beyond, hear me now, as I was praying and contemplating what the Lord would have me to speak today, I felt so strong. This morning the Lord spoke to me and said, it is time to move beyond just knowing who you are, and it's time to start being who you are. It's time to move beyond just shouting about the power that we possess through Christ. And it's time to start beginning to actually operate in the power that we possess through Christ. Come on, we've shouted about what we've had long enough. It's time to start using it. I said, it's time to start using what we have. We'll shout about it and dance about it, how we got power and authority. But it's time to start using the power. It's time to start using the authority. He didn't give it to us just to shout about it. He gave it to us to use it. I want to stop and praise God right now for every miracle he's going to perform in these next 2 weeks. We're unstoppable. I said, we're unstoppable. I said, we're unstoppable. And I want to come against a lie from the devil right now, because somebody's sitting in here and you're saying this, or the enemy's saying it to you and you're believing it. Well, that'll probably happen for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, because they're leaders or they're ministers. Or they're this and that and the other. If you've got the Holy Ghost, Pastor Elijah, I believe I read it somewhere, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'm here to tell somebody, if you got the Holy Ghost, you've got just as much power as anybody else has. You've got the same power that I got, because you got the same Holy Ghost that I got. You don't have to have a title in front of your name. You don't have to have a position, and you don't have to be old enough. I want to prophesy over our youth group right now. I believe you could be a major part of the miraculous that's going to happen in these next 2 weeks if you'll position yourself. If you'll be willing to push beyond, let me speak to our hyphen right now. If you'll be willing to push beyond your flesh and what is comfortable and what is convenient, and you'll be willing just to do whatever the Holy Ghost tells you to do, you're going to be an unstoppable force for the miraculous and the supernatural working of the power of Almighty God. Come on, somebody, put your hands together and praise Him. Is there anybody that's tired of talking about what's going to happen one day and you're ready to believe that one day is today. I'm tired of talking about the miracles that's going to happen, the harvest that's going to happen, the revival that's going to happen one day, one day, one day. I'm tired of talking about it. It's not the will of God for us to live in a perpetual state of belief that one day something's going to happen. It's the will of God. This is the day that God has called us to. This is our hour. This is our moment. We are an unstoppable force. Maybe seated, let me illustrate to you the fact and the reality that today is our day. And if you were at a camp meeting, you're going to hear it twice. But I'll do so by sharing with you what the preacher talked to us about Thursday night or Friday night of camp, can't remember now. And this preacher, it wasn't fifth-hand knowledge. He has first-hand knowledge of the story that he told and shared with us at camp meeting. As you may or may not know, we're not here to, trying to offend anybody, but as you may or may or not know, the facts are that the Catholic Church is losing members by the thousands, especially in Latin America, but really all over the world in different regions of the world. And the majority, many of those who are leaving Catholicism are coming over to Pentecostalism. So much so that the Pope put out a charge to every Catholic bishop. So you have bishops that are over like regions, and then the priests are the ones that are over the individual parishes. So the bishop is over, very powerful individuals. The Pope put out a charge to the bishops that he wanted them to find a Pentecostal church and go to it in order to find out what these Pentecostals had that were drawing so many of the Catholics to them. So he puts out this edict and tells them, just go, I want you to observe, I want you to report back, tell me what you saw. So one of these bishops in a large metropolitan city right here in the United States happened to go to one of our United Pentecostal churches. Now, there's a bunch of oneness apostolic believers. The UPC of which we are a part of is not the totality. We're just a small part of what God is doing all around the world. But he just happened to go to one of our United Pentecostal church services. And he, as I said, was just there to observe and to report back to the Vatican what he had seen. But then the Holy Ghost got a hold of him. And in that service, he began to respond to the moving of the Spirit. And he opened himself up to what God wanted to do in his life. And God miraculously filled that Catholic bishop with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. As I told you, this is not fifth-hand knowledge. The pastor that preached the message in the service told the man of God that preached at the camp meeting, and he told us. So our pastor began to share with him what the Bible has to say. That pastor there began to share with him about what the Bible has to say about baptism in Jesus' name. And that Catholic bishop was baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of all of his sins. That bishop is so excited about this new experience that now he's getting the priests together and he's teaching Bible studies to the priests in that large metropolitan city, and they're getting the Holy Ghost and they're getting baptized in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. How many believe this today? We're unstoppable. I say we're unstoppable. I said, it doesn't matter what religion, how big they may be, how much power, how much money. I'm telling you, you cannot stop the church of the living God. Woo. Now, oh, that was good, but this is real good right here. And the preacher who preached it saw with his own eyes what I'm about to tell you. He told us that bishop shared with the Pope concerning what was taking place. He began to share with him about, we're getting the Holy Ghost. We're getting baptized in Jesus' name. And the Pope sent a handwritten letter signed at the bottom his own name that stated the fact that baptism in Jesus' name was the original and the biblically authentic method for how one should be baptized. Did you hear who I said wrote the letter? I'm thinking that probably deserves maybe standing and clapping and shouting and rejoicing and running and hooping and hollering. The Pope himself understands and has a revelation and a knowledge. Now, I don't know what he's doing with it, and he probably needs to be doing something with it, but he knows. I can't stop the truth. I can't stop it. I know that is authentic. That is biblically authentic to be baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody shout, we're an unstoppable church. I need somebody, especially our young people in our hyphen. I need somebody, new people. I need you to understand we are not some backwood, antiquated, outdated, behind the time church that's still believing some archaic doctrine that everybody else is laughing at and everybody else is making fun of and that nobody else wants anything to do with it. No, we are a part of an unstoppable force that is infiltrating everywhere, every place, in every time. People you cannot even imagine are being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Famous people baptized in Jesus' name. Now they gotta work just like everybody else. They got their struggles. And if they come out and begin to declare some things and you know, their whole livelihood, and we've got pastors right now. We've got pastors of denominations, entire denominational churches that are filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. But they don't know exactly what to do with it, because if they come out, some of them, if they were to come out and proclaim it, they're out of a job. And so we gotta pray for these individuals, that God would help them and understand and give them wisdom and open a door for them to be bold in their faith. Somebody shout amen. You may be seated. Let me just tell you. Let me keep talking. Is this all right? Pastor Rick Gonzalez, pastor's right here in Chicago, texts me. He was at camp. He's a presbyter. He texts me. He said, I gotta leave camp early, because just a few days ago, Wednesday night, he said, I gotta leave early to go home, because Wednesday night we're baptizing two men who play football for the Chicago Bears. I don't know if any of you know this or not, but Brother Gonzalez's son-in-law is a football player for the Chicago Bears, and his son-in-law is teaching Bible studies to the other Chicago. We're unstoppable. I said, we're unstoppable. You got to understand, we're not a small little nothing church. We are powerful. We are moving. Our world is looking for what we have. We've got to stop thinking that our worlds are not interested in what we believe, because that could not be further from the truth. That's just what the devil's trying to convince us of, because he knows when we begin to share the light, the people that are in darkness are going to say, that's what I've been looking for all of my life. And it doesn't matter how rich they are, and it doesn't matter how poor they are, and it doesn't matter how famous they are, it doesn't matter how unknown they are. They're living in darkness. Their soul is going to spend eternity in hell one of these days. We are an unstoppable force that has the power to shift their life and put them on a path to heaven. Somebody shout amen. This is our day. This is our day. We just got to get outside of these walls. We want to see miracles. We want to shout about miracles. Let's get outside of these four walls and we'll see them like we've never seen them before. We want to see people filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's get outside of these four walls. Start laying hands on people. And we're going to see more people filled with the Holy Ghost outside of these four walls. You don't want to know. Let me just prophesy right now in the Holy Ghost. I prophesy a day when we see more Holy Ghost filled people in our community groups than we do in the building on Sundays. I only need two or three to agree with me right there. That's all I need. But I prophesy a day when we're getting text message after text message after text message. Hey, the Northwest Indiana community group had two filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. This community group had one filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. And we have more filled with the Holy Ghost on community group night than we do on Sundays. Is there anybody believes what pastor's preaching right now? Is there anybody that feels it like fire shut up in your bones? This is our day. This is our day. This is our moment. We've taken a back seat long enough. We've stayed in the shadows long enough. We gotta know who we are. We are an unstoppable force for the cause of Christ. You can stand or sit, whatever you want to do. I had a conversation just yesterday with a pastor friend of mine who pastors in Ohio. And this pastor friend of mine developed a relationship with another denominational pastor in his city. Some kind of a, just kind of a non-denominational kind of whatever. And they began to talk. And this pastor of this kind of denominational church began to share with my pastor friend this moment that had happened to him. He said, I went to this conference and I just began to really feel the presence of the Lord. And he said, I began to speak with other tongues. He said, I didn't have a clue what was going on. I didn't know what was happening. He said, can you explain to me what happened to me? So my friend began to share with him, began to show him scripture after scripture after scripture. They began to speak with other tongues, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. He began to show them that that is the initial sign, the initial evidence that you were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the pastor took those verses and began to study and began to look at them. And one Sunday morning, he texted my buddy, and he said, I want you to pray for me. He said, I'm taking those verses you gave me about talking in tongues and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and I'm preaching that to my church today. I want you to say a prayer for me. The next day, my buddy texted him and asked him how it went. And the pastor texted him back and said, we had 62 people filled. Unstoppable. Unstoppable, unstoppable. You can't confine this to a denomination. You can't confine this to a religion. You can't When the Spirit wants to move, the Spirit's going to move. Somebody's just got to let him move. Don't dare think for a minute that we hold the corner on this, because we don't. It's happening in the Catholic churches. It's happening in the denominational churches. It's happening in the Baptist churches. The Spirit of the Lord is at work, because the truth of Almighty God is an unstoppable force. Come on, somebody, stand to your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise. Listen, cool little side note on that story. I forgot about it until just now. A couple weeks later, that pastor calls my buddy. He said, you got to help me. No, he said, I need to have lunch with you. He said, I got to talk to you about something. So they got to the lunch table, and this denominational pastor, he said, you got to help me with something. He said, I had a dream. He said, in this dream, he said, I was in this vast place, and he said, these waves were just sweeping back and forth. He said, it was beautiful and glorious. He said, these waves, and he said, I could experience some of it. He said, but I was kind of like locked in this cage kind of thing. He said that I could experience some of it, but I wasn't getting all of it. He said, and I just want to know, do you know what that means? My buddy said, yeah, I know exactly what that means. He said, you need to get baptized in Jesus' name, because it's the name that unlocks it all. So right now, he's sending him more verses about Jesus' name baptism. And I'm just going to believe that in a few weeks, he's going to get a text. Pray for me today. I'm taking all those verses about Jesus' name baptism, and I'm going to preach it to my church today. And I'm just going to believe that he's going to get another text on Monday saying, we had 100 baptized in Jesus. Unstoppable, 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 unstoppable. Now listen, I know I've shared this with you from time to time, but of the 25 campuses that we're going to start, I believe at least one, if not multiple of them, are going to be denominational churches. That somehow, some way, we get in touch with that pastor, and this same scenario carries out in that pastor, and he goes to his church, and he begins to preach to them the Acts 2:38 message. Listen, if he's got a church of 200, listen, if he's got a church of 200, we don't need to win all 200 of them here. They've already got a building. They've already got a pastor. Let's just allow the pastor to get filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, and let him take it to his congregation and let them get filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. And we'll just take the sign off what's currently on there and put a TPC sign on the front and give all the glory to God. Come on, what God wants to do, this building can't contain it. I said, what God wants to do, this building can't contain it. We are unstoppable. We've got to have faith to believe for greater things. Somebody lift your voice and give him praise in the house. Somebody give him praise in the house. I mean, somebody who really wants to be a part of what I'm preaching about and what the word of the Lord promises to us, I want you to lift your voice and your hands and your heart, and I want you to begin to shout unto God with faith, with faith, with faith. You don't want to just talk about it. You want to be in the middle of it. You don't want to be on the sidelines. You want to be right in the middle of what God is doing. Come on, church, we've got to get to the place where we're done playing it safe. I said we got to get to the place where we're done playing it safe. We got to get out. We got to step out of the boat, even in the middle of the storm, because that's where the miracle is. Come on, you feel it, you feel it. You feel something happening in this room right now. It's not just emotionalism. This is not just hype. This isn't just me telling a few stories and getting you pumped up a little bit. I feel a shift in the Holy Ghost. I feel somebody in the room saying, it's my day. I've sat on the sidelines long enough. It's time for me to get my hands in the harvest.